okay, here we are with another Metal Tales from the Road. I'm sitting here, well, I'm sitting here alone, but I'm talking via Skype to our friend and patron, Thomas Mueller. Thomas Mueller, did you know that you share a last name with Eddie Vedder?
No, I didn't know that.
Eddie Vedder's Christian name, as we put it here in the States, is Mueller. And look at that. You may even be his long-lost brother.
That would be a surprise for me, but...
You'll have to go to Ancestry.com and get your mouth swabbed and all that. Well, dude,
maybe later tonight.
Thank you for coming on the show. I love talking to people like you about the gigs. You were at the Amsterdam show. Now, to give us an idea of sort of where you sit in the Metallica world, what number show was this for you?
It must have been 26 or 27. So I've been following the band for quite some while now. Yeah.
What was the first show you saw?
It was a concert in Hamburg in 1997. That was it must have been some kind of Reload promotional tour, and they played a really small club. I was 15 back in the day, and so it was rather nice experience. And I never lost the grip of the band, so it was every time they played in Germany or somewhere in Europe, I tried to at least see one show at one of the tours.
I'm looking at this right now. They called it the Blitzkrieg 97 tour. Was this at Docks in Hamburg, Germany?
Yeah, correct.
This looks like a fun little set.
Must have been in November.
Yeah, it's November 15th.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Interesting little set list, too. It's short, but sweet. Helpless, Four Horsemen of Wolf and Man. Thing That Should Not Be, Fuel, Memory Remains, King Nothing, No Remorse, Stone Cold, Crazy. And then for the encore, they did Am I Evil? And they ended the show with Puppets, so no Sandman.
That was weird, yeah. But, you know, the place was so packed. The energy and the intensity of the show was insane.
I bet.
I can still, you know, now that we recap the set list of the show 22 years ago, I still have the vivid pictures in my head right now.
I bet.
Of that at that one moment, and then it was really nice. And then, since then, I go to a show once for each of the tours. And
yeah, it sounds like if you've seen over 25 shows since 1997, you fall into the slightly insane category of Metallica fan, and I mean that in a good way, of course.
I'm a little obsessive about it. Yeah.
Have you seen them on the Worldwide Tour so far yet, or was this your first one?
No, I've been to three concerts at the. That was 2017-2018 leg of the tour, which was the indoor arena or stadium tour.
And this show was interesting because it's a stadium, but this was also indoors, right? From the pictures I saw.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. So I was expecting the show took place in this biggest soccer stadium, but I was expecting it to be like an open air concert. But for some reason, they kept the roof shut.
Was it a weather thing, you think?
Yeah, the weather was perfect. It was like around 20 degrees, sunshine. Maybe they were expecting rain. And I don't know about the mechanism of the doors or the roof. Maybe that would have taken too much time to close or to open. It's only speculating right now. But
sure. Yeah. Well, we need the actual report from you, though. If you don't give us the actual information, you might go to jail forever, unfortunately.
Okay, perfect. Oh, okay. I'll talk to my lawyer then.
So, were you aware of Metallica before you saw that show in 97? Were you kind of a fan? Or how did you come online? What was your deal back then?
It must have been 88 or 87, right around the time that Master Puppets kicked off, and they were starting to tour with the Injustice for All album. Mm-hmm. My older cousin, he's like 10 years older than me, and he, against my my parents' advice, he introduced me to the band, and ever since I've listened to Metallica.
Yeah, well, it's funny that in a sense your parents were right, because you went fully insane after that, and now you've seen the band more than many people have, kind of devoted a big chunk of your time to going to see them live. What's your favorite record?
Cool to say, because it always changes depending on my mood. Mm-hmm. So after yesterday's show and seeing them play Send Anger again, so this morning, my buddy and I, we were listening to the album in the car. So it's, you know, all the production issues aside, at the moment, it's really difficult to say. I'm really happy, enjoy the Load and Reload albums. So I was really happy about your latest episode with Paul.
Oh, right, right. Yep.
That was really nice listening to it too on the way to Amsterdam.
It's so cool that the little podcast that could has sort of made its way into the pre-show rituals of a lot of the listeners out there. They're like going to get pumped up by listening to Metal Up Your Podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening to your show for basically, I think I started with your second episode.
Wow.
So I'm
you're OG, dude. That's original gangster.
I've been listening since the beginning, basically, and hardly ever left.
Without giving us too many details, like, what do you do in the world? Do you live in Germany?
Yeah, I'm a resident of Hamburg, Germany.
Okay. Are you a Beatles guy at all? Hamburg is a big part of the Beatles history.
Correct, and they at least the parts of the city that were heavily influenced, or where the Beatles stayed, was in the late 50s, early 60s. It's you can tell because they put up these historic markers and everything onto the street.
Oh yeah, I mean people go do pilgrimages there. Is the Star Club still there? The club that they played in Hamburg?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
And in my younger years, I've been frequenting the Reeperbahn, which is the area that the Beatles played at.
Right.
Let's say I'm 95% positive that it doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. What a shame.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned that you listen to a lot of other kinds of music. What's kind of some other stuff that you're into?
It's a broad variety of different styles of music.
Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, David Hasselhoff. You know, the typical.
Oh, yeah. He's huge over there.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is.
Are you familiar with a German? There's a big German rapper named Peter Fox.
Oh, Peter Fox. Yeah, he's quite famous. I'm not quite aware whether he has released the music in the last 10 years, but at least the last album that I'm aware of that was really, really big. And
yeah, what was sometimes... what was that last album he put out? I had that record. Let me try to look this up. Stadtaffe.
Yeah, it's like City Ape or something.
Yeah, and he was on that tour. He was wearing all these weird monkey masks. There's a song on there called All New. I guess it's All Schnew or whatever is the first song. And House on C about the house.
Yeah.
He's like walking towards a house. It is, I got to tell you, for the American listeners out there that might want to check that out, it is all in German and it's sort of like dark hip hop pop stuff. But my friend Bob Schneider turned me on to, and he lived in Germany for about 20 years. And it's fun to listen to something where you don't really know the language. I imagine that it's what most people and who go see Metallica in, you know, Argentina or Brazil feel when they watch Metallica and who don't speak English, you know.
That would take me back in, you know, my younger years in like 7 and 8 when I just listened to the music without knowing what the guys were singing about or James was singing about. That you learn to understand English and it's a different experience than without knowing the lyrics.
So you didn't learn English until after you were, till you were 7 or 8?
Yeah, I think even, let me think. When that's, I think even you started learning English back in the day, mm-hmm. in the 80s, I think when you were turning 9 or 10.
Wow. It was like part of school?
Correct. I think in the eastern part of Germany, you could choose between Russian and English. Not correct. So I apologize for all the German listeners right now.
Oh, they're furious with you, dude. But, they're rioting.
Oh, yeah. I think I really need to get a lawyer now.
Well, we have a few lawyers who listen to the show. They may be willing to come to your cause. Here in the States, you have in high school, you take a few years of some language. You can choose Spanish, French, or German. I actually chose German. I can't remember any of it. But I do wish they made it, you know, like I've got a 4-year-old kid now and my wife's family are all Puerto Rican. So I'm watching her sort of easily pick up a bunch of Spanish just because my wife and my in-laws all talk to her in Spanish. I really wish I'd have had that. I really wish it would have been mandatory for me because it's a good skill to have to be bilingual.
Absolutely.
Do you speak English for your job?
Yeah, I'm constantly traveling the U.S. and most parts of Europe.
Well, that's cool. Well, let's talk about the show. So,
yeah, let's get right into it.
Is this the last gig you're going to see on the tour, or do you got other shows coming up?
No, that was the first one. So tomorrow we'll be going to Cologne, and then I have another show in Finland in July. That's the maximum of shows that I could fit into my schedule.
Yeah, I guess Cologne's tomorrow, right?
Correct. So we'll be staying in Amsterdam this night, tonight, and then we'll be leaving tomorrow morning.
What's the travel like from Hamburg to Amsterdam?
If there's no traffic, it's a 4-hour drive, I think.
Okay.
on the Autobahn. So depending on your driving skills and your fear of speeds, you can be here in 4 hours.
Yeah, the Autobahn's fucked up, right? There's no speed limit, right?
For most of the parts. But, you know, some of the sections in the on the road are, there's a speed limit of 130 kilometers per hour or even 120, which would be equal to, what is it, 75, 80 miles per hour?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
If my math is correct, yeah.
Oh, no clue. I will take your word for it. So, are you the kind of cat that likes to get to a venue early? Were you interested in seeing Bokassa and Ghost?
Yeah, unfortunately, yesterday we were in a traffic jam, so we only caught the last 10 minutes of the Bokassa set. And that's why tomorrow we'll try to be there earlier to see what Bokassa is all about.
Where were your seats at?
The front of stage, they call it the Golden Circle.
Ah, gotcha, yep.
Fifth or sixth row, so we're rather than close to the rail, but we were too late, we couldn't make it to the rail.
What are you going to try to do tomorrow? Are you going to try to get the rail?
Yeah, as close as possible. At the moment, I feel too old for mosh pit shit that was going on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to be a little more, let's say, in the safe side on the rail, if we can make it.
Was the gig pretty rowdy?
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it when we were talking, going through the set list. There were a few songs, especially at the end of the show, that for the first time in the Metallica concert, I'd rather had a seat and not be standing.
Yeah. Well, how about Ghost? Were you able to see Ghost at all?
Yeah, yeah. I saw them in February in Hamburg, and I'm a big fan of them. I think the first show that I saw was in 2011.
Was that their first record, Opus?
Yeah, correct. They always have these records that are insanely difficult to pronounce. So
absolutely, I know. What's wrong with those people?
I don't know, but the music's cool. So
how do you? Let's
really
let's
enjoy
just
them.
Let's just try to say the second record.
Yep.
Infestissimum.
Infestissimum. Yeah, I think it's Latin, but I'm a lot of S's and.
Someone needs to tell that guy no one speaks Latin anymore, and that we're all dumb, and we just want to be able to talk to our friends about their records.
Yeah.
They just call it Satan. Satan 1, Satan 2, Satan 3.
First album, second album.
How did the crowd respond to Ghost? Did it seem like they had a lot of people there for them to see them?
I think the reception of Ghost was quite good, although you could tell that most of the people were there just for Metallica, so they got quite from the most famous songs, like Ritual from the first album and Dance Macabre.
Macabre, yeah.
Macabre,
however you say that shit, too. I know.
Yeah.
The only reason I know how to say that is because there's a Stephen King book called Danse Macabre.
Oh, okay. Macabre. Okay.
So, yeah.
You know.
I'm pretty smart, dude. I studied Latin for maybe, I don't know, the last 47 years. I listened to so many satanic bands. Did they play, I'm guessing they played Rats and Squarehammer and Cirrusy. They kind of have a greatest hit set list rocking right now.
Yep. Yeah. They were on stage for about an hour, so they basically pulled off most of the greatest songs that they have.
I'm so jealous of you guys, man. I mean, Jim Breuer was cool. It was cool to see that over here, but there's very few bands I want to really see open for Metallica, but Ghost is definitely one of them, and Slipknot too.
Yeah.
The rest of this tour is going to be so sick.
Ghost show suffered a little because it was so it wasn't dark outside.
Yeah.
A lot of light in the arena, and so all the costumes and everything that kind of looked strange in the sunlight, but
right. Yeah, it takes a little bit of the bite out of the Satan shit if it's just broad daylight.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though it was a covered stadium, there was still light coming in?
Yeah, basically, it's a glass roof or plastic roof or something.
Gotcha.
And so there was a lot of light coming in. And around 10 o'clock, I think it finally turned darker outside. And
yeah, I was looking at the pictures of the Slane Castle gig, and I kind of felt like bummed about it because so much of the gig was in daylight, and it's just not as cool.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't take away from the music though.
No, well that's right. And in fact, that's a good point, because in some ways you take a bunch of the gimmicky shit out and then all you really have is the power of the music. So I can see that too.
Yeah.
So getting ready for Hardwired. First of all, you dig the new record, right? Are you into the new stuff?
Of course.
So you're
absolutely
happy to see some of these. Now, it's interesting to note, I know you told me that you've been sort of avoiding set lists and stuff because you wanted to be surprised. It's way less Hardwired heavy over in Europe than it was here in the States.
That's what I got from your podcast. So I followed all the, let's say, the Metal Tales for the US shows.
Right.
But then when they got to Europe, then I stopped listening just to be... to have the moment of surprise at the show.
Yeah, well, this
won't be having probably tomorrow.
Well, here's what's exciting about tomorrow is some of the rotating stuff, you're going to get the other tunes. So, you know, you're going to get to, I think when they're doing this kind of touring, it really is best if you can. I realize most people can't, but it really is best to try to catch more than one show, particularly back to back, because you're going to get whatever they're rotating through.
Yeah. So maybe Frantic tomorrow. I haven't looked at the Slane Castle, but I think they have St. Anger slot.
Well, let's get into Hardwired. So immediately, what was the vibe? Because this is what I'm most curious about is, like, they're coming out. They got a new record. The new record, I think, is better than they, more well-received than they thought it would be. The opener, Hardwired, is perfect. There's a reason they chose it for the record.
Yeah.
But what I'm always curious about, and what I did on my last maybe two or three shows, is I'm just looking at the crowd during Hardwired almost to see what the vibe is with the new material, if it holds up, you know? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. The moment that they started the intertape, the people went crazy.
Yeah.
Especially on the rail, and the guys behind me that constantly formed a mosh pit for almost all the songs except for Nothing Else Matters and The God Had Failed. It was so full of energy, which I haven't seen in the stadium tour 2 years ago. Maybe that's also a Dutch thing, I'm not quite sure, but and the energy level of all the people, it was insane, really insane.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I guess the cultural image I have of Amsterdam is that everyone's just stoned all the time.
There were a lot of people that were, I think, beyond repair for the show. So which,
I can't imagine getting too stoned to watch Metallica.
No. I tend not to get overly hammered at the show for the show as well, because it happened one or two times that I could not really remember the set list, which is, you know, you have a great experience at the show, but when you come back and you can't remember, you know, most parts of the show, that's, for me, that's missed opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, people can enjoy a show however they want. We did have a guy, we had a dude signed up for one of the Metal Tales maybe last year, I can't remember where, and he called me the next day or reached out the next day, and he was like, man, I'm so sorry. He was like, I got so drunk at the show that I literally can't remember anything, which is totally fine, as long as you didn't kill someone or hurt yourself. But it was like, well, now I got to go find someone else who does remember the goddamn show, dude.
Yeah.
So going from Hardwired into The Memory Remains, which is a rotating slot, by the way, so you're probably going to get Fuel tomorrow. How did you feel about The Memory Remains?
You know, it's one of the Reload songs that most well received everyone in the stadium. Basically, there are two songs that they can play from the Reload album, and I think that's, yeah, of course, Memory Remains and Fuel. Or maybe Attitude, which I doubt that they played live.
Yeah, we'll probably never see that, which is a bummer.
So when they start Memory Remains, they have this nice, in the end, you know, everyone sings along, and then they have this new extended ending that they introduced a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
On a lower level, the energy that they brought in with Hotwire, although I've seen them play Memory a lot of times, yesterday was really quite intensive in terms of the crowd reaction to the cues that the bands give.
It would be totally baller if in that slot, just out of nowhere, they played like Slither or something.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, no one would, very few people, we would all be on a volleyball team, I bet, would know what it was, and it would just be a big question mark for like 50,000 people.
Yeah, when they played No Leaf Clover, a lot of people were turning around, you know, you could see the question mark in their face.
Interesting.
What's going, yeah.
Well, I think what's so cool about what they really could do to open up that second slot, if they really did make it a load-reload slot, is if they did pull out something like Devil's Dance or something right there, maybe you lose a few people. What's so cool about the third track is that they launch right into Ride the Lightning, and immediately you've got everybody back.
Yeah.
And no one's going to complain about seeing them play Ride the Lightning.
I doubt it, yeah.
How did Kirk sound on Ride the Lightning? That's a tough one for him to play.
When it comes to the solo, I think he nailed it.
Great.
Not aware of any bloopers or mishaps that happened during Ride.
Did the boys seem pretty, did they seem like they were in good spirits, happy to be there, etc.?
Oh, yeah. Although I was kind of shocked to see James, you know, now you can see that James comes to age.
Yeah.
Especially on the big LED screens. You could,
right.
You know, at the beginning I was kind of shocked, you know, to see your hero from childhood to teen years become that old. But in the end of the show, it was kind of, you know, it was Papa Hat that on stage.
Yeah, I know. We're transitioning into Grandpapa Hat.
Yeah. unfortunately.
One of the first shows of the European tour of the first leg, I guess he had gotten stung by a bee on his face.
Oh yeah, with this, yeah, yeah.
So his face looked all fucked up, and I was telling my wife about it. I'm like, man, can you imagine being on five of the biggest screens I've ever seen in my life, and you have a fucking swollen bee sting face? That poor guy. He probably told him, like, hey, let's lay low on the close up face shots tonight on account of the old bee sting.
Please, please, to change the camera setup, and please just film Lars, or
just show Kirk slipping on his wah pedal over and over, just on a repeated loop. Have you seen that of Kirk falling on his wah pedal?
Yeah.
That silly guy. He needs to be careful, man. When you fall, when you fall in your 50s, it can get really dicey.
But it seems to be a constant theme. I've seen him trip a couple of times in the last concert. So
I'm just glad that they're good sports about it.
Yeah.
They're not like pitching a fit and walking off stage, because they are falling in front of 50,000 people.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's being recorded and put on the internet forever.
Which was also kind of annoying to you know, being that close to the stage, and most of the time you could. Basically, you had to look through someone else's cell phone to see the stage, which was, I still don't get it.
I know. I don't either. And, it makes me sound like an old man, but I don't give a shit. It's kind of a get off my lawn thing. But I played a show there's a big festival that happened last week in Nashville called the Country Music Awards CMA Fest. And we were playing this little hip little VIP party, maybe 200, 300 people crammed in this little club. And there was... So we're playing, and behind us is a big screen, and on that screen is just a video of us playing, and which I just thought was really weird. But what was really dispiriting about the whole scenario is that, you know, I get bored on stage, so I just look at the crowd. I'm like, well, what else am I going to do? I try to just look at people and figure out what their lives are like and smile at them and make a face at them or whatever. Most of them were watching the show behind us, like watching the screen behind us, which, again... Didn't have anything cool. No dragons or skulls or pyro. No ghosts, Satan shit. Just simply a shitty, grainy video of what we were doing right in front of them. And then what was even worse than that is there were people filming it. And then the people next to the people filming it were actually watching it all through the person next to them's phone. It was like a big joke. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Just everyone has to prove that they went to a nice thing now.
Yeah, correct. And posted on this social media. And although I have to admit, in the 2 years ago, during the European tour, leg of the tour, I sometimes watched some of the illegal streams that were posted on the Metallica forums.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice to follow the band, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I watch it, and there are people in the forums that make the argument like, well, if you're watching it, you can't complain about it. It's like, no.
Yeah, correct.
If someone leaves $20,000 on my doorstep, I'm going to take it and spend it. That doesn't mean I think it's a smart idea.
Yeah.
You know? So moving on after Lightning is probably, if you've been avoiding the Metal Tales, it's probably one of the most, other than the St. Anger slot, is one of the most exciting songs they've pulled out for Europe is The God That Failed. How did that tune sound? Yeah.
Amazing. And that was, I think, not a lot of people were expecting it. Me neither, of course, because I didn't look at the set list prior to the concert, but the crowd reaction was a little mixed, I think. So I'm only guessing that most of the people, or a lot of people, didn't know which song it was, and the crowd was stronger at the more well-known song. So
yeah, of course.
God That Failed. It was a nice addition to the set list that I haven't heard live or seen live for 7 years, 6 years maybe. So it was really nice addition to the set.
Yeah, and I feel it seems like they're throwing that out there for the diehards, you know, the deep cut black album track. That's for us, you know.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the only things for us, maybe Spit, but... So moving out of that into The Unforgiven, so that's pretty smart setlist placement right there, because if people were confused about The God That Failed, they surely weren't about The Unforgiven.
Yeah.
And how did James sound? And that's a big iconic solo for Kirk, too. Everything sound and look good.
I have to admit, I didn't pay too much attention during the solo. For some reason, I can't remember why, but James sounded great. He had his acoustic guitar set up right in front of us, so for the beginning of the song, he was right in front of us. Was really nice.
Didn't pay attention to the solo, huh?
For some reason, I don't know why. Or maybe I can't remember.
Picked quite a moment to zone out.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, maybe I was talking to some of the guys behind us and complaining about them shoving us all the time.
Yeah, I can't stand that shit.
I mean, it's nice to have the people, you know, react to the music, but if, when it comes to, you know, pushing their will onto others and during the concert, I'm not in favor of that. So, man, I sound so old.
Well, I'm right there with you. I'm probably even more grumpy about all that shit. I will say, if I'm going to be launched into a mosh pit against my will, I would prefer it be during a slow song like The Unforgiven.
Nothing else matters. Yeah,
yeah. I'll be in those pits where we're knitting and crocheting a nice scarf for our grandchildren. The next tune, though, speaking of Hardwired, is a pretty exciting tune of Hardwired. They've started playing it on the last couple of shows before they split the U.S., but you got Here Comes Revenge, which I still haven't seen. I'm so jealous about that.
That was nice, and there was a nice mix-up in the beginning of the song when James changed his guitar, mm-hmm. went to the microphone, and or did his If You Want to Live Forever, First You Must Die routine for Now That We're Dead.
Mm.
And he looked at the set list and figured out that it's not the song that they were supposed to play.
Wow. So how did he handle that?
You know, like a pro. So he just made a couple of jokes about it. And then even after they completed the song, he mentioned it again. And then,
if you want to live forever, first you have to die for revenge. He could have just cleverly just scooped it in there.
What he said was just, that's not the song that we're supposed to play. Something along that line.
That's pretty funny. Like, it kind of loses power because he does it in that whole, like, first you have to die. Oh, wait a second. Sorry.
Correct. That's basically how it played out.
Dude, that's funny. That's like fucking Axl Rose, you know. You know where you are? You're in the jungle, baby.
In the jungle, baby.
Oh, wait, crap. Yeah, crap. Shoot. We have to play Mr. Brownstone now. My bad. So moving into the 1-2 punch of Moth and the Sad. I mean, to me, Moth and the Flame is as iconic as Sad But True. Moth and the Flame is like Creeping Death, Sad But True, Master of Puppets. Yep. It's that good, in my opinion.
Yep. It's one of my favorite songs of the Hot White album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I was, they left the drones in the U.S., I think.
Yeah, but you got the Dancing Flame, though.
Yeah, which was really hot. You know, standing so close to the stage, you could feel the fire all the time, the constant. Although the flames only shot for a couple of seconds,
mm-hmm.
it was like a barbecue.
Nice. Maybe burn up some of those people throwing beers behind you.
Oh, yeah.
So you said during No Leaf Clover that people weren't sure what it was. That surprises me. That was a big hit.
Correct. Even my buddy, who's also a big Metallica fan, I had to explain which song it is, which
he's fired.
Kind of find fun story. Yeah, correct. He'll get me to Cologne tomorrow. So
right after he's your ride, but then he's fired. Yeah, he's fired from your life. He's no longer your friend.
No, it was really quiet, and you know, in the beginning they played a intro tape, and then there was silence, and only for the chorus, I think the people understood which song it was, and they kind of slowly caught on. Singing.
What's on the screens during No Leaf Clover?
I didn't look at the screen. Most of the time I tried not to look at the screen.
Thomas, real quick, were you at the show? Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. Okay. I was there, but most of the, as I was so close to the stage, you know, the huge screens, you know, and the resolution of the screen wasn't that good if you're that so close to the stage.
No, it's true. I was up on the rail at one of the stadium shows in St. Louis, and it's one of the only bummers about being that close is you really don't get to see the whole thing. You just can't. Yeah. You can't really take it all in.
Yeah. Basically, so, in my field of vision, there were five or six of those large screens, and I could only see two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the band is in front of you, I'd rather look at the band and not on the screen.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. So Robin Kirk's doodles, how are those going over in Europe? People digging those?
Yeah. Played a Dutch song, which was a rather famous song for that's being played at the soccer stadium for every game, I think. So it's that's what one of the Dutch guys next to me explained.
According to the set list, it says it's called Bloed, Zweet, in Tranen.
Oh, yeah.
Which translates to delete that.
After the duel, Rob played some parts of Menonkind and Orion, which was really nice.
Yeah, it's a bummer that they played Menonkind. They actually debuted it in Europe. They only played it two times, and then it went away. It's sad. I love that song. Okay, so then you get to another exciting moment in the show, which is the St. Anger slot. Now, what was the crowd's reaction to this material?
The moment that that James played the first chords, intensity after New Leaf Clover, you know, it spiked again, and everyone was going crazy. You know, you had the mosh pit behind you, the one next to us. The St. Anger material, you know, not with a real snare sound, it really sounds great live.
Yeah, and that makes me it makes me happy to hear that. I've seen some of the video. They put out a video of Frantic on the last leg, and I'm stoked that they're doing it. It's something exciting, especially after the 2 years of sort of similar set lists. I think it's cool that they're revisiting that material, and they're probably going to play one or two of those songs, if not both of them, for SNM2, which might be why they pulled it out.
Yeah, and maybe the same reason why they played No Leaf Clover.
Absolutely. Did they add, I haven't seen a video of St. Anger yet, did they add a guitar solo? Was there a guitar solo moment that you remember?
No, not that I, I was at the show, but I can't remember. Right. If one took place, then I must have been, I don't know, drunk or something, but no, they didn't add any solo, which would have been weird, I have to admit. Why would they add a solo to the, you know, the...
Yeah, I think they added a solo to Frantic. I think they added one to Dirty Window, too, when they were playing that live on the Madly in Anger with the World Tour. Yeah, I agree. It's a pretty weird move. Yeah. Just play it the way you wrote it.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, they are the ones who wrote it, and I guess they can do whatever the hell they want. I guess they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Okay, I give them permission. So you said you did watch the screens for one. What was on the screens for one? I wonder if it was the same.
First World War army that was just marching from the right to left and left to right, walking through, was it also barbed wire, and you know, like a First World War, let's say, battle scene,
right?
People marching into their doom.
It is interesting to me to think about how the war songs go over in Europe, because obviously he's writing these war songs from the perspective of the American military, disposable heroes, but I guess it's broad enough that it applies, you know?
Of course.
People still feel connected to the tragedy of war, you know?
Yeah, no, you know, if you pay attention to the lyrics, and which I think most of the people do at the tour or in the stadium, I think the imagery is the same all around the world, you know, losing your sight, your legs, and everything.
So, I think everyone can personally identify with losing all of their limbs. Having to communicate, having to communicate to a nurse via Morse code and telling them to kill you because you have no limbs anymore. That's a universal feeling. I love the run of songs here, man. After that St. Anger slot, One, Puppets, Bells, Creep, Seek. That is such a sick run.
Yeah. It was just 25 intense minutes. There was no stopping. The whole crowd was crazy. And for Seek and Destroy, there was this young kid that Lars put on the drums for the
intro.
Yeah, that was really nice. And I was imagining, man, if I was on stage with Metallica 20 years ago, I would have shit my pants, but he really pulled it off.
Yeah, it's like one of those situations where everyone's like, oh man, if I had my moment. But you get up there, and that's a harrowing experience, dude, especially in a stadium in front of that many people.
Yeah, I don't know. It was completely sold out. I don't know how many people were in there. I'm guessing more than 40,000.
Probably, at least 100. There were at least 100 people there. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. It felt as if there were 100 people right next to me. So it was so packed in front.
But they come down to that golden circle area or whatever for Creep, right? Is that when they first come down, or did they do that for Seek?
They started with Phone the Beltholds, just moved in to the front of the stage, which was really nice. But, you know, I had to turn my neck for 20 minutes to see them and behind me.
Yeah, I remember when I was in the snake pit, I was up on the front, and anytime they were behind me, it was a little bit of a pain in the ass. I hate to complain about being in the snake pit, but it kind of was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, first world problems.
But it's cool that some, you know, it's cool that they do that and give those people that are around those areas a different perspective.
Yeah.
And even the idea of them just sort of breaking it all down to this, them all standing so close together in such a big venue.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the philosophy of it also. It communicates a lot, I think.
Everyone just being confined to this 5 meter, 10 meter space of the stage. It was really nice.
Yeah, I bet. And I noticed too that you got, for the encore, you got spit, which is badass because.
Yeah.
What they have been doing, do you even want me to tell you what they have been doing?
Yeah, my buddy already told me.
Okay.
This morning during breakfast.
So they've been doing Lords of Summer, and the reaction's been kind of mixed on that. But what's so rad about tomorrow is you're probably going to get to see both, which I would love to see Lords of Summer. I know it's everyone's favorite tune, but the fact that they're playing that is so cool, and I'm guessing they're going to drum that up for S&M also.
You think so?
Or maybe they're just playing it because they're on a summer tour. I mean, I guess that
makes
sense,
too. I mean, they introduced the song in the, was it 2014 for the summer tour through Europe?
Yeah.
And that's when I heard it the first time. Maybe it's you know, this summer thing. I'm not quite sure whether it suits the, let's say, the SMM2.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to have a lot of people scratching their head at that.
Yeah.
Although I'd rather see that than like Wherever I May Roam or something. I mean, there's probably 10 songs I can take off S&M to make room for something kind of weird and exotic like Lords of Summer. How did the crowd react to Spit Out the Moan?
I think a lot of people were expecting it.
Okay.
But it was, you know, the after Master Bells and Creeping Death and Seek and Destroy, that was the cream on the top. Basically destroyed everyone that had still some energy left in their bodies.
Yeah.
A lot of people next to me, they were, you know, or behind me, were completely exhausted
after
those four songs. I have to admit, I've one of the more violent mosh pits that I've ever seen. You know, people throwing fists and the security coming in. Kind of strange vibe that I got from behind.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I'm like an old man, but I guess it is a heavy metal band, and a lot of people have spent their whole lives using Metallica as a catharsis for aggression, so I guess it's just inevitable, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, the first time in 20 concerts or 25 concerts that I've seen actually, you know, fight break out.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Let's see how it's done tomorrow.
It'd be interesting to compare Germany to Amsterdam. And then, you know, of course, they can fight it out during Spit Out the Bone and almost kill each other. And then they can.
And then a kiss and hug and nothing else matters. Yeah.
You know what, man? I love you, dude. Nothing else matters. Yeah. Well, they want to kill each other and spit. Then they want to make up and nothing else matters. And they want to kill each other again in Sandman. So, it's a nice sandwich of violence and hatred. What's your. So did you stick around to the end? Did you watch the. They're doing these videos at the end, right? That are like thank yous to the city.
Yeah. I stayed. Right to the end, just because I wanted to catch a pic. This time I was not lucky enough to get a hold of one. But I think they even shared the video on Facebook this morning. So it was it's a nice nod to the city. You know.
Yeah, I agree. It's nice. So the few times that I've been around that kind of thing at the stadiums, I was so fucking worn out. I was ready to go, but it's almost something to do because a lot of people are already leaving. You can kind of stay there and. But you know, bide some time so you can get the hell out of there.
It took quite some time to get out of the stadium because they only opened up the exit on the back, so you had to wait until all the people in the back get out, and then maybe we stay for 20 minutes until we finally had the chance to move out.
I went to see Tool a few weeks ago. We were in an arena, and I parked at a bar near the venue. It was maybe 2 miles from the venue, and my friend Brad was driving me back to my car, and it took us about. It took over an hour for me to get to my car, which was 2 miles. I could have walked to it.
Yeah, I can imagine that's quite annoying.
But I'm sort of if it's not music related or having to do with my family, I'm kind of profoundly lazy. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just sit in the car for 90 minutes rather than walk 2 miles. Good God.
It also depends on the weather, right?
Yeah, well, no, because even if it was nice, I'm like, fuck that, I'm still sitting in the car.
Okay, that's the American way then.
my bandmates are, my bandmates are always like, dude, there's a coffee shop like 3 miles away, it's a 20-minute walk, it's nice outside. I'm like, fuck that, get an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. If I want to exercise, I go to my gym where I'm on a treadmill that has a television and air conditioning on it. And I've got my iPad, and I'm playing a tower defense strategy game, and I'm listening to music. I'm basically doing everything I can to convince my brain that I'm not exercising. Yeah. All right, well, Thomas Mueller of the Mueller tribe, kin to so one
Eddie
Vedder.
Related
at one, yeah. Yeah, you may be his long-lost brother. He might owe you some family money or something. You ought to really check into that for real.
During lunch today, I learned that he was in Amsterdam 2 days ago or something.
Yeah, he's playing a gig there, and guess what? He covered Inner Sandman while he was there. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He covered it on the ukulele instrumentally.
Oh, shit. I need to check out YouTube and see my long-lost relative play.
Yeah, totally. One of the reasons I love doing this, because it gives me an opportunity to, in person, tell you thank you for being a patron, supporting the show. We couldn't do it without you. I appreciate your insights into Metallica, you taking the time in between these two gigs to let all of us know who can't be at the gig what it was like, dude. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for the show. I mean, I think you've created something very special for, let's say, the Metallica community. And yesterday I was even wearing my Metal Up With Your Podcast shirt, and a lot of people talked to me. So I'll say hi to the guys that I met yesterday, if they're listening, because some of them said that they were listening to the show.
They were like, dude, we were at a Metallica concert with Eddie Vedder. Holy shit.
Jesus.
And the other guy's going, I know, dude, I heard he was in Amsterdam. Like, yeah, it must have been him then.
He looked different. He was a little chubby, but...
Well, dude, I appreciate your time and the kind words about the podcast, and, you know, we're not going anywhere anytime soon, so I'm sure I'll talk to you again down the line, and safe travels to Cologne, safe travels home, and I guess that's it, homie.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, it's Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we hope you're enjoying the Metal Tales from the Road series. If you've been keeping up with us, then you already know that we've covered every stop on the 2018-2019 North American Arena Tour, and we look forward to catching up with all of our European friends later this year on the Stadium Tour overseas. And there's more! After the Stadium Tour, we are continuing the Metal Tales series for any Metallica show in the past. Maybe you saw one of the Orion Festivals. Maybe you were at the Channel in 1984 and Cliff Burton bought you a beer. Maybe you were at one of the 30th anniversary shows, or you just saw a regular-ass show in North Dakota somewhere. We want to hear from you. Since Ethan and I started Metal Up Your Podcast, we wanted to find a way for listeners to call in and share their stories. Well, this is it. To make yourself eligible for a future or past Metal Tales episode, please consider joining us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you not only get to come on the show as a guest, you also get both of our Cover Our World Blackened EPs, monthly giveaways like deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, posters, and other goodies. You get early access to our YouTube videos, and we also let you ask our guests like Ray Burton, Michael Wagner, Hailstorm, members of Slipknot, your very own questions. For what essentially amounts to 2 cups of coffee a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. For any of you on the ride with us, we love you, we thank you, peace and adios.